welcome to the latest edition of Galbraith Podcast. I'm your host, Matt Finlay, and I'm delighted to bring you your new episode of Property Matters. Before I introduce today's panel, I'd like to thank you, the listener, for your continued support for our podcast. If you're new to our show, then welcome, and we hope you enjoy listening to our agents discuss the key issues in their field. Now to today's podcast, and I'm delighted to introduce two members of Aberdeen's agency team, Hannah Christensen and Hilary Murray. Hannah and Hilary, welcome to Galbraith Podcast.
Hi.
Thank you for having us on.
Thank you.
And since it's your day, we always like to find out a little bit about our guests. We'll start with you, Hannah. Can you just tell us a little bit about your role at Galbraith, a little bit about your career with the firm and what it is you do in Aberdeen?
Sure. I've been with Galbraith now coming up for nine years. I'm head of agency in Aberdeen, but I've been doing property sales in Aberdeen and Aberdeenshire since about 1998. So a long old time I've been doing this. So yeah, but with Galbraith for 9 years and focus on residential and rural sales across Aberdeenshire.
And Hilary?
So I haven't been here in Galbraith for just as long as Hannah, but maybe coming up for the last 2 years, I think it'll be in July. And before that, I've worked in a variety of other estate agents in Aberdeen and also in the Shire, probably since about 2007, 2008 kind of time. So again, quite a good number of years, seen lots of different properties and lots of different areas.
Excellent. Well versed in the Northeast market then, the two of you.
Yeah, we've seen it all.
Yes. There's not a village that we haven't been to.
Brilliant. Well, that actually leads us on to the first topic of conversation today. You, as I said, you've both plenty of years of experience in the Northeast. Can I just ask, how in your time has the market changed, particularly in the Northeast?
Oh, goodness. I mean, we could go back, couldn't we, Hilary, to the likes of 2007.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That was a crazy
period
of time until we had the financial crash the following year. So we've had those really high points. We had that again, didn't we, Hilary, maybe about 2014?
2014 was kind of peak. And if anybody says that they bought 2014, it's always a bit of a, ooh, okay, where are we going? It's going to go high. And then, of course, it crashed just not long after that. So then things did go back to quite a lower level after there. So difficult times for people just
lots
after
of up
that.
And downs, hasn't it? And I think at that time, especially 2014, was very oil driven because we had a situation around the oil.
Yeah.
And then of course COVID came in and the market just went crazy, really, in the latter part of 2020, didn't it? So we went back up again after that. So
yeah,
I think during,
I think we both worked through that and, you know, saw the kind of the pent up interest that people had. The people didn't want to give up trying to sell their property in that time, but then it was very difficult for people to actually physically do viewings or anything like that. So it did become, again, a fairly difficult time all round, but certainly a lot of pent up interest.
It went crazy. We didn't see it coming after, I think, as well, didn't we? It kind of caught us all off guard when we came out of lockdowns. It just went, it went crazy, and then that kept us really busy for the following years. So
and what people were looking for in their style of home and what they wanted and how hard they wanted their house to work for them, that changed. That definitely saw a change in what people wanted out of a home or where they wanted to be, especially maybe out of the city into more rural environment,
it's
more
a bit of a
space
reset, wasn't
around
it?
Them
It's evolved, hasn't it? Everything's evolved, but the market's just gone up and down for various reasons, and you just go with it.
Mm-hmm. You touched on there as well about the oil crisis, obviously a few years back now, and Aberdeen, the city, the Shire, the Northeast in general has obviously kind of been, it's always associated with offshore oil. Is that kind of a bit of a common misconception maybe now, if you're asked that question in the market, you know, do people still associate Aberdeen with that, or when it comes to like the property market?
I mean it's still a huge topic of conversation. It's a huge part of Aberdeen. It's still a huge part of our property market. It brings people in, it moves people out. I don't know if you agree, Hilary, but it doesn't underpin us so much anymore.
No, I think it certainly brought wealth to the area, and people had the incomes to be able to afford bigger price bracket properties, and they could certainly, you know, had favoured areas that were in and around, you know, West Hill, King's Wells, Dice, into that kind of closer to the airport, the industrial estates and things like that. But we have kind of moved on from a lot of not so much jobs, not so much income. And it's there's got to be other avenues for why people come to move here or live here. And that's certainly, you do see different industries now
definitely
coming through.
I mean, I think, you know, we still have people house hunting because they're relocating here for oil. You know, definitely, without a doubt, they're still coming in. But it's for various other reasons, I think, now that a lot of people are coming into Aberdeen, whether it's medicine, it's education, renewable energy as well coming in. Just a whole host of them. But it's there, isn't it, Hilary? But it just probably doesn't underpin us as much as perhaps it did before.
Yes, a lot of it's kind of moved on a little bit. But sometimes people still expect that potentially, you know, especially bigger price bracket properties, it's what industries and, you know, incomes, who's purchasing these properties, how much of an income do you need really to be purchasing some of the houses that we are selling? So it can be coming from different areas.
I think most of the people we're seeing now, definitely in the last maybe three years for sure, is people coming up for lifestyle changes. A lot of people, particularly from down south, are completely not oil related in the slightest, but just coming up for change of lifestyle. I'm sure we'll touch on that again, but it seems to be that's where we're evolving to now.
Yes, definitely. You definitely see that coming in, where it's maybe not the city centre that people want to live in, but they're looking for the Shire out with Aberdeen City. And that then brings a whole host of different buyers, effectively.
Yeah. You touched on there a bit, also people coming from down south. Are you finding that they are tending to kind of find the Shire?
Well, we just kind of find that now, I mean, Hannah, you had the stats from before, I think you recorded that potentially our buyers, which I actually thought were going to be a little bit more on the out-of-area buyers, but 60% were from local areas, 40% of our buyers in the last quarter were out-of-area buyers. But I certainly think that the inquiries on a daily basis are people looking for that lifestyle. They want more space. We've certainly got our airport here and people can easily commute in and out. And maybe sometimes they weren't coming up as far as Aberdeenshire, but it certainly seems to have changed. I've seen it change in the last, even maybe since COVID. Yeah. Hannah, would you agree with that?
No,
or do you think it was before COVID?
It's definitely evolved from COVID. I mean, we always had people moving up here, but they would have often had a connection. They would have had a family here or they lived here in the past or work was taking them here. But now, I mean, they're just making life decisions. They're making the decision to move, get out the rat race.
Yeah.
They're getting so much more for their money up here, you know, compared to what they're selling.
That's what I was going to say. Affordability
massively
is here.
And
I think, and what
they
can
say,
get,
and we hear this often, is that our countryside is so untouched. It's not overpopulated. It's not busy. You know, compared to the likes of perhaps your Cornwall and your Devon, you know, beautiful but so busy, very seasonal. So they come up here and they could just have genuinely quiet, peaceful countryside, and it's a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle they want. The kids in the small local schools. And bear in mind, the airport's normally about half an hour away from anywhere in Aberdeenshire, and you'll be down in London within a couple of hours. So
yeah. And that's something that you're asked pretty much on a daily basis, you know, from people that are looking, searching for, help me find a home. How can we help people to find a home here? Well, they are coming up, they're flying into the airport, and then they're kind of going from there. They're maybe viewing one or two different properties, if not three or four.
Yeah.
You know, we're trying to, it's a viewing tour when they arrive, and, you know, we can step in and help as much as we can in terms of logistics for those viewing appointments, or price bracket, or what they're looking for, their requirements and things. And certainly we try and help people as much as we can get to the right areas, because not everybody knows where they're coming into. They don't specifically know where some of our areas are. But yet you want, you know what you want, but yet they don't, we have to kind of guide them.
I mean, a lot of, it's not even just a northeast thing. We have people from out of area just wanting to live in Scotland. you know, and pinning that down to specifics of where they want to be, I think, is more so up to them. They need to come and drive it, feel it, move around and see places. But yeah, they'll, like Hilary says, they'll come into Aberdeenshire and not know where specifically they want to be. So they're happy to consider most things.
Mm-hmm. And the romantic idea of castles or you've got the Cairngorms, you've got people wanting different things, but we kind of cater for all. There's something rural aspect-wise for most people. If they want to be, you know, with a few sheep, they've got the acreage, or if they want to kind of have close to the, you know, walking distance to Cairngorms, all of that sort of activities, outdoor activities, we certainly can cater for them all from different regions and locations.
There's that nice kind of sweet spot, isn't it, between the East Coast and then the Cairngorms. You know, either way, they're probably about half an hour each way. I mean, that's quite a special opportunity to have for people.
And budget-wise, Hannah, you maybe agree with this as well, but, you know, they do have a budget that we can kind of work with. Yeah. You know, there's certainly properties there that do come within budget. It's not that people are struggling to kind of come with a budget that can work
definitely.
To get something
all
that they want.
All sizes of budget, definitely. Yeah, they look at everything across the board, don't they?
It's difficult because people obviously do have then different laws from buying in England to Scotland, and that can be, you know, the port of call. You know, what can we do? How can we buy here in Scotland? What's the easiest way? And we deal with people that are kind of coming in who haven't sold, so but they're searching. You need to look to see where you're going to be before you maybe commit. And that can be something that people are always asking us to help them with, a solicitor or a mortgage advisor, not just location or property. And we kind of do that on a daily basis, Hannah, don't we, really? There's
a lot
of people call in looking for that kind of advice.
It's been a journey even for us, I think, isn't it, since in the last couple of years we've had to adapt to these buyers coming in with the ways that they've been used to. The process is different in England. It's brought challenges, definitely. It's, you know, lots of positivity. You know, we love these people coming up to the northeast and settling here and calling it home. But perhaps the journey of them selling down south and buying here, I think merging the two systems together has created frustration probably from sellers and buyers. It's a new way of working for everyone. But I think now everyone's a bit more educated about how we bring them together now.
Definitely.
So it's been a learning curve, definitely, hasn't it?
Yeah. And is that really the responsibility of the estate agent to really educate people, getting them to ask the right questions, and then obviously you're able to provide those answers?
I think so. I think we try and help people get to a good position to be in that maybe will suit, you know, our sellers, our clients. You know, we've got people coming in that maybe still got to sell. You know, how can we help them kind of push on that sale? Not much. We're not in England. We can't help much with that. However, what we can do is try and manoeuvre them into a good position in order to be considered by any of the people that are selling, so that they do stand a good chance of, or as much a chance as anybody else that's purchasing, no matter where they're from. You know, a good solicitor can always be the main point of call.
Yeah.
I think, Hannah, you would say as well that solicitors, we're often asked to recommend solicitors for people.
Yeah, I think the biggest hurdle is that as the estate agent for the seller, our priorities will always lie with the seller. And I think up in Scotland, property solicitors play a larger part in the process for a buyer. You know, if a buyer needs advice, it's the solicitor they go to, it's their solicitor that they'll speak to, rather than the estate agent selling the property that they're looking to buy. So it's just offering them a bit of clarity about where they should be getting their advice. I mean, of course, we're here to help and we'll do everything we can within the right boundaries, but the solicitor really needs to lead it for them. And we'll chat them through that and we'll encourage them to follow the right path and the right process. But yes, that's probably one of the biggest changes, that the solicitor, the property solicitor, will do the guidance on the buying side, predominantly. I think that the biggest hurdle is often the chain element, I think. Up here, certainly in the northeast, you know, we have our ways, we have our own ways up here. We don't really like chains, we're not a fan of chains, so a lot of buyers, if they have a sale, they get themselves in quite a strong position, so they'll get their house in the market, often even under offer, before they then can offer on another house. Whereas a lot of the buyers that were approaching us from out of area, and not just England, across Scotland too, they hadn't even had their home in the market yet. So, and when you have a strong market, somebody with a house still to sell that's not on the market, sadly the seller is really never really going to give their offer full consideration when they've got plenty of other options, perhaps from buyers who are in better positions. So yeah, it took a lot and still does take a lot of just ensuring we understand each of their position exactly. And then, you know, our client's a seller, so we have to keep them right and tell them when we feel there's any element of risk. But, you know, we've sold many homes to out of area buyers over the past few years, and it's been wonderful. It's been really positive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We certainly do have beautiful homes that people want. It's just manoeuvring themselves into the best position
and that can take
possible.
Time. And then you get out people that are moving in where they kind of deal with their sale, wherever in the world they may live, they deal with the sale first, get themselves into rented property perhaps, and then they're good to go on their purchase. So, I mean, that is the ideal scenario, really. But yeah, we look at it all.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's positive. It's good.
So on that then, what is the number one question that you tend to get asked by buyers or sellers?
Well, sellers is easy. I think, would you agree, Hilary? I would say when we're talking to our clients, sellers, it's how much can you achieve for our home and how quickly can you sell our home? I think that's the two big questions. Probably both hard to answer. I mean, we're obviously the professionals. We can give them an indication of where we think the sale price will be, but you never quite know until you're on what they're going to get.
No, you
and
don't.
How quick too.
Yeah.
I mean,
and sometimes people have no expectation. You know, they always think, oh, will my house sell? Will I get a phone call?
Yeah.
And we know it's going to be, you know, something that's going to be popular. But, you know, sometimes they don't. And it can be a worrying time for people to place a property on the market. But, you know, the buyers are there for properties that we do put on, and we just have to match it up, the right person to the right house. And then, you know, what does a buyer ask us? They're always looking for more land, or they want more.
Yeah.
Who owns that field, or who owns the surrounding parts of a property? They always want to have a bit more information on, especially when it's rural properties, it's who owns the next field, or who owns that, or who owns this. I think I get asked that question quite a lot, Hannah. Do
I mean,
you?
Most of the homes we sell are kind of one-off properties, whether that's in the suburbs or out in the shire. So, we get a lot of questions around those points, definitely. I think as well, a big question that always crops up from buyers is, you know, what do I need to pay to get the house? Or what do you think I should be buying the house for?
Yes.
Now, of course, acting for the sellers, you know, we're here to get our sellers as much as we possibly can for their house. So that's an interesting question. I don't know.
I think sometimes that's when a local solicitor, if you've gotten a local solicitor on, you know, already in place for yourself, they know the area. They should know what some of the properties are selling for, or what it takes to secure something. They can guide and help with that. That's where the local solicitors really can kind of play a good part in it. You know, they can give as much guidance as we can, and that can be helpful.
And you know,
people.
If they ask us, we can, you know, we can steer. You know, we know our clients' expectations, hopefully, and we're out to get, you know, as much as we can for them. So it gives us an opportunity as well to maybe steer them in the right direction.
We often do have competitive situations for some of the properties that we're selling, and that, you know, it can be, people don't like to be in that situation. It's difficult. Closing dates,
buyers don't
sealed
like them.
Bids, you know, you don't know where to go with things, you know, but it's a fair way of dealing with a competitive situation for a property. If you've got more than 2-3 people looking and wanting it, we've got to go kind of down that route. And again, solicitors can help and guide with that.
The dreaded closing date for the buyers. It's a very stressful time. Great for sellers, not so good for buyers.
Would you like to offer a closing date? I think I did buy my house at a closing date.
Yeah.
I think we did.
There was
a time
lapse,
do it again,
everything. Yeah.
It was 2014, there you go.
I know, I think we both bought a house, Hilary, in 2014, which is crazy, because as agents, in Aberdeen.
I know.
We bought the peak of the market.
Yeah.
Both of us. If only we knew.
So we know. We know
think
the pain.
We know better.
And a closing date pain. Yeah. It's always good if you're successful at a closing date.
Yeah,
nobody wants to
I
be
know,
not successful, do they? But only one person can get it, and it's always it's
there is.
There's always other heists
definitely
out there.
Well, thankfully, my first home that I bought was a new build, so I didn't have to go to any closing dates or deal with any of that extra stress.
Yeah. Do you know, there was a time here, I remember in Aberdeenshire, where there was a new build development going and people used to queue and sleep in their cars overnight.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They camped out
camp
and they got
out,
given like
yeah
a number. So you're first
to secure
in the queue,
things.
You're second in the queue. I think what? It was West mm-hmm Hill. I'm sure it was West Hill.
Yeah. I think that, yeah, definitely think it was West Hill. I think in Viruri, there was one development that was the same. People were camping, queuing, couldn't wait to get something in. There would always be a wait list as well. You couldn't kind of secure anything easier.
So new builds don't escape it.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
That sounds like an interesting time for the market. In the last year, particularly, if we look at the last year and obviously looking ahead this year, you know, there's continued uncertainty around potentially around mortgage rates and obviously the cost of living crisis hasn't exactly gone away. How has the market adapted and like is that even affected like how you guys like are asked questions and how you've had to adapt?
I definitely think people are much more wary now of like how much the bills, you know, what's it like to run a property? How much am
what's
I actually
the energy
gonna,
rating?
You know, be spending out in heating or energy if that kind of thing. People are much more interested in the cost of running a property. We can't really always answer it because everyone's consumptions are different. However, it is now somebody, you know, looking at what's the heating, what's the costs, you know, what's you know, how can I make this house work harder for me? It's definitely a question I get asked quite a bit from, you know, people who are looking to buy now. Very much they're not looking just at a whim anymore either. I think people need to know what salaries they've got. They need to know how secure their employment is. And definitely, again, their mortgage advice comes to play, whereas people would maybe be thinking, well, yeah, I know we can move. But in reality now, I think people are maybe investigating it more before they come to view something. So you get maybe fewer viewers for one specific thing. But it should be people who do know what they're doing in order to be able to purchase something. It is harder for people. Definitely, I think there's been much more of a conversation around, well, can I actually afford to make a move?
I think as well, harder. You know, we had the whole interest rate situation. I think there was a couple of buyers at that specific time that were keen to lock in the interest rates before they changed. It did cause a little bit of an issue at the very specific time. But then I think, you know, we didn't lose any buyers as a result of it, any active buyers at the time that were purchasing. We didn't lose anybody. And I think people have just realigned their expectations. So they've perhaps reduced their budgets. Rather than stop looking entirely, there will be there will be people that stop looking that we would never know would have been there. But I think people just still want to move forward. And I think, you know, they still wanted to move forward with their plans and get on with it. And, you know, people are having family, they need bigger homes, they're relocating with work, you know, things keep going. Yeah.
There's
and I think fortunate for us because of the type of properties we sell and being more countryside, which was still a good market, I think we've really come out of it unscathed, to be honest, with the interest rates. I think buyers are definitely more cautious in the level that they're offering, and I think that's probably a reflection of that. You know, they're not digging so deep, and you can understand why. We've all got to think, what are we going to be paying every month? You know, like Hillary said, how much is everything going to cost? So yeah, I think people are cautious, but I think, and especially this year, coming into this year, I think people are like, you know, that maybe held off their plans last year because they were a little bit worried. Now they're just like, let's go. Let's get our house on and get moving.
There's always that need or a want to move. And I think people still want to move.
Yeah.
They want to be out of the city or into something else or vice versa. They want something, or else they need to move. You know, they want a bigger property, they want to get more space, a bigger garden or something like that. So there's always a need and a want.
The future is so uncertain in so many degrees. You know, the last few years, things have been thrown at everybody from different angles, haven't they? So, I mean, you've just got to... How long do you perhaps put plans on hold, you know? So I think this year people are just saying, let's go, let's get the house in the market, or let's move, or, you know, let's start looking for another house. So, yeah, I think people will have a bit more confidence this year to get going.
Yeah, it sounds like they're more certainly more educated then.
Yeah. And I think we'll still have our lovely buyers from out of area coming in this year too. You know, we're talking to a lot of them every day, and local people too are making the move. So yeah, I feel positive. I mean, that's not to say that the big offers will still be coming. I think people will be cautious and a bit more realistic. But yeah, I think we feel really positive about the year ahead.
I think the ability to work from home, you know, that's become such a huge topic for people. They don't have that different commute. So you can potentially live further away from the office, or you're not getting caught up in that rush hour traffic. And certainly, I mean, people who are living locally can work from home, but also commuting, going back to our out of area buyers, you know, it's not always that they're giving up jobs, say in London, to, you know, to live here. They're commuting to these jobs and still staying, but yet you do get, like I say, going back to more for your money, you're certainly getting that countryside or a different kind of lifestyle. But yet you can work maybe 3 days from home, or only be in the office, you know, only have to go somewhere maybe twice a week or something like that. It can all, that kind of has been a big influence.
Yeah.
It certainly helps. You know, we obviously do hybrid working and everybody enjoys that aspect, I think. You miss the office, and hybrid works well for people. Yeah. If they can come and go. So it's a kind of
Definitely opened the doors, hasn't it?
Certainly you do have people asking. I mean, Wi-Fi or broadband is an interesting question that we do often get asked, actually. We forgot about that one, but it's always, you know, Wi-Fi connections now. You know, can I work from home? What's the speed of the broadband? You know,
and it's remembering you can, from Aberdeen, from our airport, you can be in London within 3 hours door to door, or Amsterdam commuting on to other, you know, big cities. So it's, you can still work remotely and be places if you need to be.
That can lead nicely then on to some of the advice that you might have for people looking to sell for the spring market.
Yeah.
What would be your top tips?
Top tips.
A new segment, this, I think, with the podcast, Top Tips for Hannah.
Definitely know what your Wi-Fi speed is. That's a top question.
Absolutely. I mean, I think we're starting to see, you know, we're out seeing lovely properties, Hilary and I, every week now, ready for spring.
Yeah,
everyone's
definitely
ready to come out of hibernation. They're out doing the gardens a little bit more. And I think, my tip generally would just be take the time to prepare. It can just take a couple of weeks, get your garden looking really smart and neat. Doesn't have to be excessive, just cut the grass, keep on top of it.
That front approach is always the one that you know. I mean, we do talk about curb appeal, but it's not even that. It's just that, it's that walking up to the front door aspect, and you're standing there waiting, and you kind of get the general feel of what's going to be behind that door, really, don't you, from that first impression. You've only got a few minutes.
And I do think buyers know within minutes of entering the home. You know, it's a gut feeling, head and heart.
Yeah.
So you're right, Hilary, I think that kind of first impression is really key.
You can produce photos and you can produce videos, but until you're standing in or sitting in someone's living room or dining room and it's a really nice, relaxing atmosphere, or the sun's coming in the window, or you can feel the light in the air in that house.
It does.
That makes the difference,
and
doesn't it?
Just taking the time to walk around your house with a fresh set of eyes. Take away clutter, and it doesn't mean everything.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean, you know, stripping out, it's your home the whole time you're on the market, so, and it will be. So, but just minimise things. My biggest bit of advice is invest in photos. The biggest thing you could spend your money on when selling your house is your photos. We could write nothing about a house. Address, floor plan. Buyers love a floor plan. You know, if there's one property that doesn't have one, and there will always be a reason why, no doubt they will phone and ask for a copy of the floor plan. So if you invest your money, it's on the floor plan, it's on an amazing set of photos with drone, video, and that is the core part of it now. Definitely, if you have a really poor set of photos, it could be detrimental, you know, because people will just skip past it. So yeah, photos, spend your money on photos, get your house ready, spend a little bit of time and spend a little bit of money if you have to, clean your windows. Yes, yeah, just listen to your agent and take some advice. But
I think people understand that some homes are working homes, you know, they've got children, they've got families, they've got dogs, they've got things coming in and out. A working home is not one that's going to put people off. It shows how practical the home can be. However, you don't specifically need everything out that goes with all of that. And it can just be, as you said, minimalising.
And sometimes
what's
even just
in the home.
Minimising the home for photos is enough. Because actually when you're in the house doing a viewing, it's fine if it's busy and it's a bit cluttered and there's kids around. It doesn't matter. That's probably what the people are going to do when they buy it. But for the photos, that's probably where I would make a little bit more effort initially. Because without a good set of photos, they're not going to get into view, are they? So I think,
No, that's it. Again, first impression,
it is,
isn't
massively. It? Be flexible with your viewings. We do have people that now are looking for kind of same day, that afternoon, weekends. And I know it can be a nightmare, especially if you're, you know, busy people. But we're always here to help our clients if we need to step in. And
that's it. It goes back to our out of area buyers as well, because they're only getting one chance to view.
Often they just come once, don't they?
One chance to come and visit. You know, and you know, they might stay a little bit longer, but they're not coming back for that second or third viewing. It's on that first impression.
Yeah. Absolutely. It's an important time. I think now, with how everything has evolved in the process of selling your home in Scotland, you know, a viewing is so important now, because they will have done so much work before the viewing. Many years ago, the viewing would be the first thing, but actually now they'll drive past your house a couple of times, they'll Google map it, they'll read the home report, so they'll know the value, they'll analyse all the photos, they'll look at the floor plan, and then if they've done all that, and they're still calling to view, that is your potential buyer right there. So I think viewings are everything. So be as flexible as you can, because they'll just go somewhere else. They'll just view another house and go. So try and be as flexible as you can, I think, as well, as another good tip.
It's a big decision, isn't it? It's a big investment. It's your biggest... your big move, moving, you know, from anywhere, but especially, you know, you're wanting to understand how long does it take to walk somewhere, or you know, how long, where's the kind of the closest shop, and you know, people do ask that kind of questions at viewings, but it gives them a good understanding how they can live in that house, and then that's when they're investing and buying into it.
Where's the nearest coffee shop? That's always good. The nearest pub, that's always important. And they can sometimes be a distance.
Oh yeah, because people do like to walk to a pub.
They do.
Yeah, you know, people do like to walk to somewhere. They don't want to be considered always in a car, always having to take your car out to go somewhere. They do like that village, I can walk here, I can walk somewhere else. So that is quite a nice one to know what's in the local facility. Might be things that you don't use, but if you have a kind of an idea of what can offer to someone, a toddler group, or there's a nice community there, or there's a community group kind of goes on. People like to hear that kind of thing when they're viewing.
And, you know, it's not... we talk about spring, don't we? Spring's a great time to sell. Amazing time to sell. But so is the rest of the year. There's always buyers on the go. You know, we've sold some really amazing homes in the depth of December and January. Really busy. And I think spring's great. It's a great time. There's lots of buyers on the go. But there's also a lot of other competition for property-wise. So, you know, don't be put off, I would say, about other times. If it feels right in August or October to sell your home, the market's there. There's buyers there all the time. So if it works for you, just do it. Just go for it. Because there's always buyers.
No time is ever the right
January,
time.
January, February
is
a great time. I think people make decisions as they approach the new year, and then in January, February, they action their plans. So the properties we have on in January and February, and that's probably the time when we have our lowest stock, they normally sell really well in January, February. So
do you think June, July can be a bit of a slower time? I do.
Holidays.
I think June, July can maybe slow down a bit.
Everyone's off sunning themselves.
Definitely.
And spending quality time together.
Especially now, again, out of COVID, so yes, that people can get away on holiday. Would you say it's either buy a house or go on holiday? I think it's sometimes people can still do both now.
Adapting a little bit, aren't they? Yeah.
Back to being able to do both.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
So don't just pin it on spring. And we've for some homes that want to go maybe later in the year, we photograph them in spring. The photos can sit there and wait until they're ready. We could even write the brochure if they want to just really get on top of it. And then we'll just click the button when they're ready. And if that's September, then so be it. But we can still just do the photos in spring. So, but you know, autumn, the lovely orange leaves. Well, some of our higher end homes we've photographed in autumn, Hilary, and how beautiful the setting in autumn.
I know.
It's super sunny. Low sun coming through. Yeah. Don't focus on spring so much. It's a great time, but so is every other month.
Yeah.
Excellent. I think we've nearly reached the end of our discussion today. Thank you very much to Hannah and Hilary for giving up their time today to discuss the market, the North East market, and obviously give some really good advice out there to the listeners. Just before I go, I always allow my guests to plug some things that some of their work. Now, of course, we're in this situation where, of course, you're obviously looking to sell property. So what's on in the North East just now that you've got out there?
Gosh, we've been to so many different areas of late, haven't we? We've been all over the place. I mean,
We're seeing some lovely houses, so keep an eye for spring because we're prepping some amazing properties. Mm-hmm. Just now, we've just listed a lovely, modern, low-energy rating home in Torfinns, which is kind of upper Deeside. And the viewings are going really well there. That's Northbury House. So that's one to keep an eye on. Hilary, you've got some lovely properties as well. You've got a lovely one at Ellen, nice traditional house.
Yes, we've got still some traditional properties if you want that kind of period features, but still coming with big gardens. Washington House comes with pretty much 2 acres of a garden, plenty of room, but walking distance to the school, walking distance to the community of Ellen, walking distance to shops and things like that. That's a beautiful property.
Yeah, we've got a lovely Victorian country house coming in Aberdeenshire, lovely bit of land, incredible views. So it's definitely one to keep an eye out for. And it's got the cutest cottage that also comes with it. Very quaint. We've got lots up our sleeve, haven't we, Hilary?
Yes, definitely exciting times.
And also just finally, because I know we've talked a lot about out-of-area buyers coming in, but get in touch with us because we do have the Guide to Buying Property in Scotland that we're happy to hand out to people. So. Mm-hmm.
And we're always happy to hear from everyone.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
That's a really good way to end. I think that's a very good plug, especially Hilary for Ellen, my hometown. I'm always pleased to see them.
Maybe that's why we can't sell it at the moment.
Maybe I moved away, so
it's lovely. Ellen is lovely.
Excellent. Well, we'll just end on that note there. Thank you very much for listening to today's episode of Property Matters, podcast by Galbraith. My thanks to Hannah and Hilary of our agency team in the Northeast for their debut podcast. She's done very well there, I thought.
Thank you. Will you have us on again?
Absolutely. Good. We're always keen to have a chat. So, as I mentioned at the start of the show, I'd like to encourage you to subscribe to Galbraith Podcast so you never miss an episode. Listen back to our previous episodes as our experts across all our business streams discuss a variety of topics. Follow Galbraith across social media. We're at Galbraith Group and all the major platforms. Keep an eye out for the upcoming Property Matters, which will see more of our agency team share their knowledge and expertise in print. My thanks to you, the listener, for tuning in. I've been Matt Finlay, and this has been Galbraith Podcasts.